Hello and welcome to Radio Edutalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and delighted to welcome to the show this evening Marie-Jeanne McNaughton and Ruth Bart, who are going to be talking about the storyline method and the forthcoming international conference to be held in Glasgow in March. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I'll just say at this point, if you're listening to the live broadcast or indeed the podcast, and if you have a question or a comment for Marie-Jeanne or Ruth, you can get in touch in two ways. You can email edutalker, that's edutalkr @hotmail.co.uk, or if you're on Twitter, just pop something up there with the hashtag edutalk, and we'll be broadcasting for the next 25 minutes or so. So, ladies, welcome to EduTalk, and I suppose we better get straight into it. Can you explain to us what the storyline method is, how you came to be involved in this these pedagogical approaches, and also why and what ways it is such a kind of feature of in Scottish education?
Okay, well, I'll make a start, David. It's Marie-Jeanne speaking. Storyline is it's an educational method based on the principle that story and narrative are central to the way human beings learn and how we learn about the world, how we learn about each other, the world in which we live. We learn principally and in the first instance through story. It's something that's always been there in as part of human nature. The actual storyline method it started in the late 1960s, early 1970s, not long after the old primary memorandum. Now, a lot of your listeners will be far too young to remember the primary memorandum. Ruth and I are chuckling here because this was our Bible when we trained as teachers in the early 1970s. And basically, the primary memorandum was a document that encouraged teachers to stop thinking about education and teaching and learning as little individual chunks and lumps of subjects, learning in boxes, and looked at a more holistic approach and a more child-centred approach. Now, at that time, there was great enthusiasm for this child-centred approach, but there were no actual resources to help teachers. And a number of tutors from Jordan Hill College, including people like Fred Rendell and Sally Harkness and Steve Bell and Arnold Bell and a few others, got together and wrote what were originally tutor packs to help teachers to teach in a more holistic, child-friendly manner, child-centred manner.
It was also in response to, within the memorandum, they spoke about environmental studies, and nobody was really sure what exactly they meant by that. So it was predominantly around that area that the PACs filled that gap.
They came out, and gradually what happened was they realised that the best way to learn about the environment and the best way to learn holistically in a joined up way, bringing in the arts and bringing in language and maths, different areas of the curriculum, was through story, or a very good way was through story. So the storyline method evolved from there and was very popular in Scotland in the 1970s and well into the 1980s. In fact, I was a storyline tutor in 1987. And it looks at a partnership between the teacher and learners. It starts very much with what the learner knows, using a series of open-ended questions. And really, the learning takes place in a series of chapters, if you like chapters in a story. And it's not, you don't just learn maths out of context and environmental education out of context, language out of context. They all are linked to the context of a central story.
Yeah. And trying to construct that kind of real world with a setting, time and place, and characters being developed and changing and learning and moving along as they come across problems, incidents, things that are happening within the story and their response to that.
So I have four young children, and when they, you know, when they're coming home from school and talking about, you know, creating a freeze and saying in the gym hall, and then the next week I hear them talking about, well, they're now in character, and I'm just thinking about the last example. It seemed to be around sustainability education. So it sounds as if my children, 3 and 5, I know you're going to talk later about specifically what's happening in Glasgow, but those are kind of approaches that I'm sure are going on in many primary schools that would be likely to be following a storyline approach.
Yes, yes, in a way, but I think the storyline, there is a sort of rigour to it, and
of course,
it is about developing those the characters, their understanding, using the children's sort of understanding of the world around them, and but helping them to go a bit deeper in that, and learning from each other, you know, so that sort of constructivist approach to learning is very key, as well as this, the teacher driving along the learning with the key questions, which guides the children further into the learning. So it's not a sort of free for all. There is there's a place you want to end up at after the, you know, with the storyline and the culmination of that. So yeah, it's got a kind of rigour to it. Mm. It's not a free for all in making pictures. There is a rigour to it.
Yeah, I mean, it might be good to give a little example of a storyline. One of the storylines that we're involved in just now in Glasgow schools, also I think in Lanarkshire schools and
in Falkirk,
and taking it out to other areas as well. One of the storylines is called The Water Source. And basically in the initial, it's about a remote community that have a, the children create characters who live in a remote community, and this remote community has one water source that they very carefully look after. And they have celebrations about the water, and everyone in the community looks after the water in the community. It might be a spring or a well or a river or whatever. And what happens is you spend quite a long time building with the children deciding on the setting for the water community, who their characters are within the water community, what kind of jobs people looking after water would have. And so in that, there's a lot of geography, there's a lot of history, there's a lot of science, a lot of writing, a lot of art, some drama, that kind of thing. And once you've got this setting very well established,
and the children
have the context, they believe in the characters, they believe in the situation, and they really have a connection with the characters and the place, then the next couple of episodes of the story are where incidents are introduced by the teacher. Things happen. What we do in storyline always is we add problems and complications for the characters. You know, life's never simple in a storyline. Life's always, always throwing up problems with giggling here. But, you know, just when their world is lovely and safe and secure, we do things like the water dries up and how are they going to deal with that problem? Or a refugee community comes from another area and wants to share the water with our community. What do we do about it? And so we introduce fictional problems for the children. It might be there's a water leak or someone's not looking after the water properly. And the children have to find ways, using research, using science, using all sorts of
collaborate to overcome the problem.
Also, the collaborative approaches, and they have to come up with ways to help their little people solve their problems.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it opens up almost endless possibilities then for cross-curricular working.
Absolutely.
We both said together. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And that's, I think, why now in that whole holistic approach and curriculum for excellence, it really does once again fit that model of active learning and life skills and helping the children take ownership of their learning and take that forward. But in a, as I say, a planned approach, but they can fly with it, and they certainly, as one of the principles of Cricking for Excellence is enjoyment, there's certainly never any shortage of that. They thoroughly enjoy being in the story, in the moment, and being in their character, and it's a safe place to be to explore some of these sensitive issues that go on, and complex issues that actually do affect our life now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think one of the things as well is that, just to make it absolutely clear, that storyline, the method, it sounds a little bit airy-fairy in a way that we're describing
it. It's not.
It's very clear about that. She doesn't like any of that airy-fairy stuff. But the important point about the storyline method is that it's called storyline. I say to teachers when I'm doing work with them, it's not called story free for all or story make it all up or story just suit yourself. It's storyline. And the most important thing is that the teacher holds the line of the story and holds the line of the learning. So the teacher has the storyline and the line of learning all planned out in advance, but around that line, the children have many decisions that they can make and many questions that they can ask and many ways to work out around the line, and to feel very much part of the learning process and co-creators of the learning.
I think it's really interesting what you're saying there, and I read a couple of papers that you shared beforehand, and you're saying about the teacher, the importance of holding the line, I suppose, right to the end of the story. But at certain points they can take on, and I'm quoting direct from, I think, one of the research papers, that at certain times a teacher can take on a low-status role, actually become embedded within the story the same as the young people are. And I know they flit in and out of character, but also the teachers can even take up a role or roles as kind of adversarial characters within the story.
Absolutely. One of the things that I'm very interested in is using drama in storyline. And I call it stepping down from the picture, stepping down from the freeze. The children have made all the little characters and they've got biographies of the characters. They know them very well. But the drama helps them to become their characters for a little while, and to speak in character and to interact with each other as their characters. And to do that successfully in drama, you have to introduce some kind of tension or problem or complication that the characters can talk about. And one of the very useful ways of doing that is through teacher in role. So the teacher in role in the water drama, for example, or the water source storyline, we do some drama where the children are all in role as characters in the village, going about their ordinary day's work, and the teacher comes in as a stranger, and the children have to find out who the stranger is and what the stranger wants. And the stranger tells them that she comes from a community whose water is running out. And through the children's questioning of the teacher, the in role as the stranger, the children's characters realise that this stranger wants to bring her community to join their community. And the children have to decide whether or not they're going to let the teacher's character and her community come to join them. And it's very, very powerful, because the children have quite a high status. They can make the decision whether or not the teacher's character can join them. And they ask very searching questions, and some of them will stand up and say, you're not joining us. What do you want? And, you know, they can speak to the teacher in ways that are not the normal teacher-pupil relationship. It takes quite a lot of skilled teaching to be teacher in role, because you've always got to be careful to guide the pupils by your answers. And at any time, of course, if you feel as if things are getting a little bit out of hand, or you feel as if you want to just have a break, you just say, stop the drama and go back to being teacher and pupils and say, now, what happened there? What happens now in the story? How do you think we'll take it forward? So you can come out and be yourself, and back in and be the character, and out and be yourself. And it's that coming in and out of the story where the learning, that interface between the imagined world and the real world, that's where learning takes place.
And am I right in saying that this kind of introduction or more frequent use of kind of education drama, is this a feature of the kind of the resurgence of storyline, or does it go right back to its beginnings in the 60s?
Ruth? Yeah, but we've got a mixture of them all. I mean, ones where there is this sort of historical element, and again, it's got to be very... it's accurate. And again, you can just make characters. It doesn't have to be drama all the time. It can be very much where you build the frieze, or else you take the story forward through excerpts, you know, whether it can be letters arriving or, you know, other events happening that reach the children, and, you know, as each episode unfolds, and that can drive it along. So it doesn't have to be drama all the time, but because of the global storylines has been something that developed with West of Scotland Development Education Centre, Strathclyde, Marijana's consultant mayor from Strathclyde University, and within Glasgow we were money from DFID, from the Department for International Development, and this was a way of helping younger children engage with these complex world issues like that, the water and water scarcity, land grabs, things through which refugees, looking at sort of social justice and equality and sustainability, and helping them engage with that in a way that they really can begin to think about those more complex issues and develop a sense of empathy with other people's problems across the world, and what they can do and individually to support that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm someone who has always been involved in drama, and to me, the next step in storyline, when it began to be popular again in Scotland, was to add drama into it. And I now work with teachers in various parts of the world, helping them to build drama into their storylines. And I do a lot of that with teachers in Scotland, just giving them the techniques and the confidence to build drama in. But as Ruth was saying, the West Scotland Development Centre, and if you look up Global Storylines on, just Google that and you'll get the Global Storylines website, it's very, very clear about how storyline helps children to
engage
with complex global issues that are very difficult. But when they become the little people who maybe have a problem themselves, they can understand they maybe have more empathy, more sympathy, and understand in greater depth.
And you've mentioned the water supply storyline, but can you maybe take us through another one, such as the land grab or the refugee one, just to kind of maybe illustrate further how it works?
Okay, well, there's a really popular story storyline, and it's called The Giant of Thistle Mountain, and we do this at two levels. The first level is the infant level, and upper school level is a wee bit more complex, but basically all of the children become people in a little remote community with a mountain and a spring and a beautiful village, and the people in the the village, the community of Thistle Mountain, or whatever the children want to call the village, they decide that they want to go in for the best village in the country competition. So we look at how you build a community, how you work together, what does it take to be a community member, all of these kind of things. And, oh, everything's going swimmingly and we're all working very well together. And then a problem occurs. And the problem in this particular storyline is that a giant has been seen at the top of the mountain, and the giant has started to come down into the village, and rumours are going around, although no one's seen the giant, rumours are going around about the giant and how he's going to spoil their chance to win the best village in the country competition. And so they decide to send for someone, and they send for a giantologist, a giant expert, who turns out to be the teacher in role. And the giant expert is interviewed by the villagers to find out if they can help to get rid of the giant. And it turns out the giant expert is a total charlatan. And so the people of the community, the people of the village, decide not to employ the giant expert, but to try to catch the giant themselves and solve their own problems for their community. Now, what happens in the infant storyline is the children discover the giant writes a letter to the children. The children discover that the giant is just very sad and lonely, and they try to help him to become part of the community, and they find out how they can help each other to their mutual benefit. So it's very much a kind of community-based drama, and how we welcome strangers into the community. When we look at the point when we meet the giant as an older class, primary six and seven, we were a bit, we thought, how will we make this much more, just more difficult, more complex? And the children discover that the giant is actually very articulate and is a refugee. He's running away from his own country, where giants are treated very badly and are treated almost like slaves, and they're persecuted. So the people of the community decide to send a delegation, like a UN delegation, to the country of the giants to find out what happens and to try to make life, to negotiate for the giants and with the giants to help make life easier for them, and to draw up treaties for human rights, for giant rights. So they're quite complex stories. This goes on over maybe about 6 weeks.
It sounds fascinating. That I'm conscious of the time. I've got a couple of questions that I'd just like to throw in, maybe before you then take us onto the International Storyline Conference that's coming up in March. And we're talking about the role of drama, maybe in the kind of modern day storyline, and there seems to be a lot of kind of sort of theatre type techniques, like around, you know, coming out of character and making sure that there's time, I suppose, for the partners, the young people, and the teacher and the adults to actually reflect on what's going on. But could you also take us through, maybe, I noticed again in the literature there's kind of mention of freeze frame and hot seating, and you know, how that suppose I must say at this point, again reading the literature, and hopefully the listeners realise that that although there's a lot of planning involved here, there's some excellent, very simple planning tools that I know that have been created as well, so it shouldn't be too daunting.
That's right, yeah. I mean, things like if we're doing drama, freeze frame is just a way of holding a moment in time. It's as simple as that. You just freeze in a position. Maybe, say, for example, the children might all, as individuals in the village, freeze and show the moment in time when they discovered that the giant wasn't bad but was good. So they might just show that in a frozen moment of time. And what we might then do is thought track round all the characters, and the characters say a few words of what is in their head at that moment. For example, I thought he was bad, but I've learnt differently. Or, that giant was, I feel quite sorry for him now. Or whatever. You know, so the children are actually taking time to stand still and think and reflect maybe a little bit more deeply on
any prejudice,
on prejudice, on their the characters that they made up, that prejudice, on all sorts of things like that. David, I wonder if it would be, if you have time, I have a little clip here. It's just about 2.5 minutes long of some children talking about reflecting on some of on a storyline that they have done. I don't know whether that would be of interest to you.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. I wish John was here because we would have been able to have played it right through the speakers really clearly. But I'm sure if you play it through the microphone, I'm sure it'll be clear
well,
enough for our listeners.
Well, it's just on the computer just now, so if
should
I
be
play
fine.
It,
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. Here, okay. You are. This is Primary 7.
My favourite part was when we got to decide everything about what we were going to do. So it wasn't in most topics, you just told what you're going to do, but we got to make it all up.
It was surprising that we got we were able to put in a lot of input into the topic.
I also like the drama bit of it because you get to act like grown-ups and like what you want to become in the future. And it was really fun.
I thought it was just the right time because it was around about the time where we had to learn about problems around the world as like some people don't have as much water as us and the water they do have is not.
I thought it was really good because we got to decide and see how people would get the water to their houses and what resources they would need to.
But the things that we had to make up were quite challenging. Because you had to think of something that was realistic but not boring. So it had to be interesting but not too extreme, not unrealistic.
Something that made me think about it was when we were running out of water and we had to think of ways to sort of get some water back or to live off just that much. And that kind of makes me feel like, how do other people feel, like people who don't have a lot of water?
Now I kind of like remember that we sometimes like take water for like advantage and stuff, and if we like do that, you kind of don't think that people in third world countries like don't get as much water as we do. So from this topic I think that we've learned a lot and like learned a lot about it.
Well, it
how's that then?
That came across really clearly. Yeah, thanks very much for dropping that in.
I think it's like that's quite nice to hear the voice of that was Primary 7 class.
Absolutely.
Doing some reflection on their storyline.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking again, listening to the children there and kind of tying it in with some of the research findings, and we haven't really touched on that this evening, but you know, just a really great opportunity for young people to examine human identities and put anxieties into context. And you mentioned earlier on about it being in a safe environment.
Yeah.
And they're getting to experience other people's problems that other people's experience around the world. And again, just a lovely phrase that I noticed in one of the papers that it seems to give young people the chance to rehearse their citizenship.
Yeah,
yes, very much so, yeah.
So just to finish off this evening, could you take us through the I think it's the 6th International Storyline Conference?
Well, it's taking place in the Technology and Innovation Centre at Strathclyde University, the brand new building, which we're very happy they've built it specially for us to have it. I think we're the first conference in, and it begins on the 27th of March and goes through to Sunday the 29th. And we have over the moment over 200 delegates from 20 different countries and lots of people presenting and their how the sort of whole school approaches to storyline, which is very popular as well, and storyline through STEM, foreign language teaching, because people use it, adult learning as well, use it in all different ways in these countries. And it's great to see how it has, over the last 40 years mm-hmm. or so, really gripped the imagination and a love for it, and that across the world, and the people enjoy it. In Scotland as well, with Curriculum for Excellence, it has allowed us to revisit that whole active learning approach, and I think Storyline then is coming back into favour as being, you know, a very good interdisciplinary vehicle, which really does tick all the boxes for helping with, you know, critical thinking, with helping with collaborative learning and cooperative learning, and really developing good life skills and working together so that the learning, that independent learning, is being developed, and decision-making and problem-solving are just, you know, integral to what actually happens, and it becomes a normal part of how you and that whole reflection as well, it becomes a normal part of how you approach your learning. So we're looking forward to the conference.
We are indeed, yes.
And as I say, a full programme over the sort of 2.5 days, mm-hmm. because it does kick off with Marie-Jeanne doing a keynote lecture on the
Friday evening,
followed by a civic reception at the City Chambers in Glasgow, and then the conference on full day on the Saturday
with people from as far abroad as, we have someone from Russia, we've got people from the United States, from all over, especially Northern Europe.
Yeah.
We've got someone from China, we've got some delegates from Turkey,
Czech Republic, Poland, Germany.
Yeah, yeah, they really, we cover so many. Mm-hmm. Storyline is popular in so many areas, mm-hmm. and they call it the Scottish method.
And you're mentioning that the main day is on a Saturday, so great to see yet another high profile conference that practitioners at least have got an opportunity to get to if they're willing to give up some of the weekend. But I will at this point say that, you know, I'm delighted to announce that you know, EduTalk will be at the conference in some form, so that there'll be a way of catching up. And I know there's an excellent website at the University of Strathclyde website. I don't know if you want to talk more about how people can find out more information, whether it's the research papers, or we haven't touched on, I'm sorry, I'm not aware whether the Storyline is a product that's kind of commercially available, or how people would actually be able to get their hands on the resources if they're not able to attend the conference. We have got a link on the EduTalk website, but are there a couple of other kind of key links that you could share with us at this point?
International Storyline, you know, is one approach, but there's Storyline Scotland, they've got a website, and so do many other countries have a website as well, and there's some mm-hmm. resources and things.
In fact,
on
if you actually go on to, and anyone can just Google Storyline Scotland, the Storyline Scotland website has all of the links to books, papers, articles, background information, and a whole lot of links to different countries. It's got a link, direct link to global storylines, for example, mm-hmm. but down one side of the page there are about 20 or 30 links. Mm-hmm. There are also links to a whole range of storyline topics. So the Storyline website is very, very useful. There's also a Storyline Scotland Facebook page that you can go onto and link through that. And I would say that going onto the conference website, you can click on Storyline Scotland. It will take you right into the Storyline Scotland website, and almost everything that is available in Storyline is somewhere on that website.
And if not, even within the Book of Abstracts, there's, you know, email addresses for people who, if you know, from that, if there's anything that people are interested in, they can follow up. And generally, pretty generous in the, storyline world, and they will share quite readily for what they have.
There are a number of good books just now recently published, one by Carol Oman, mm-hmm. Who's Scottish, and she's a retired head teacher, and she worked in Storyline and works in Storyline for many years. I'm sorry, I just can't remember offhand what the name of her book is. It's about using Storyline in communication and language. And it's a very, very accessible book, and certainly there are links on the Storyline website to that book.
That's absolutely brilliant. So I suppose the kind of the idea that I'm getting is we're just drawing the show to an end then, is that really, I don't know whether you would go as far as to say secondary teachers, but really everybody working in within primary schools, not just those who maybe previously had the hat for environmental studies, should be engaging, should be having a look at what Storyline's all about, and maybe having a look at how it's playing out at the moment in Glasgow.
I think that the conference does open up the number of ways in which it's used, because I think it may be still in Scotland we've got a fairly traditional approach to it in terms of social studies or in the old environmental studies. But when you see how much it's developed across the world and the different ways in which they've used it, for different aspects of learning and across the full curriculum,
and in secondary
as well, very much so, especially in the Scandinavian countries, I think it really does open up a lot of possibilities that I don't think we've really explored quite yet in Scotland.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening on Radio EduTalk, and for listeners, as I say, you can get in touch in two ways, and I'll be sure to pass on any comments or questions that you have for our guests this evening, Mary-Jeanne McNaughton and Ruth Barr. We've been talking about the Storyline method, and we'll hopefully hear more from you around the conference. And I certainly have loads more questions. I'm having to hold myself back. I need to be somewhere else. But we'll see you at the conference, and I hope you'll accept our invitation to come back on EduTalk again in the future. But for now, best wishes.
Thank you so much. Thanks a lot, David. Bye-bye. Bye.